Your voice.
Your city.
Your issues.
Your evenings on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
Wandile Slobo is a chief economist at the Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa and senior fellow in Stellenbosch University's Department of Agricultural Economics, and he joins me now. Wandile, thank you so much, sir, for joining us. Really, really appreciate your time.
Good evening, Aubrey. Thanks for having me on.
19% lower than last year was the crop for maize this year. What were the reasons for this?
Aubrey, the reason for this is the drier weather conditions at the start of February throughout into March, as well as the heat wave that we experienced. We started the season thinking that things would go reasonably well. We knew that we had a La Nina problem, El Nino problem at hand, but this El Nino, unlike the previous cycles that we had seen, it looked fairly mild, and we thought that at least perhaps maybe we could be able to get through the season in a reasonably comfortable footing. And at the start, it did really seem that way because we had good rainfall throughout up until that beginning of February and stretching into the end of March, which really caused much of the damage, thus ending with the figures that you have just cited now, that 19% decline in our overall maize crop for the year.
For those of us, Wandile, who perhaps don't have as clear understanding of the process, I suppose the farming process, the production of crops at the scale at which maize and maybe others are produced, how does it work? I mean, when do the farmers go into the farms and put seed into the ground, and what are the expectations in order for us to have the best crop we can have, both those things that we can do that are in our control and the optimum sort of conditions that the weather can bequeath us?
Yeah. So, Aubrey, you have to think of it this way when you are looking at the South African farming economy in general.
Yeah.
We talk broadly to say agricultural sector, but it is a sector that is divided into about three subsectors. One is livestock and poultry. That's where you have all your cattle, sheep, and everything else.
Yeah.
And that makes up nearly about 48% of our farming economy.
Right.
Then you have fruit and vegetables, which is about 24% or so of our farming economy. Then you would have field crops. When people talk of field crops, then that's where you have winter crops and summer crops. That's your winter crops, wheat, barley, canola, and everything. But then on the summer crops, it's your maize, soybeans, and sunflower, which is what we are talking about
right
now. The seasons for all of these differ. For summer crop, for example, let's take maize and soybeans. Imagine you are driving out of Johannesburg and you are heading all the way down to the Eastern Cape. For summer crops, during the planting season, you plant from around about October all the way into the start of January or end of December, depending really on a rainfall pattern. But if you are driving out of Johannesburg, heading all the way to the Eastern Cape, anything that is in your left-hand side on the eastern regions of South Africa, you have to start tilling the land at the end of September and put the seed on the ground before the 15th of November. If you don't, you run at a risk of frost and a poor yield.
Right.
If you're on the right-hand side of that highway on the west, you have to delay by a month and start putting your seed on the ground somewhere between 15th of November and stretch it into the end of December or even the start of January. We do that because of the rainfall pattern at the start of the season, but also in anticipation of the frost later in the season, which could damage the yields.
Right.
You do that primarily on your maize. Maize is yellow maize and soybean to the east. In the western regions of South Africa, you primarily have white maize for our staple and sunflower. That's how the broad, very high level part is set up. But of course, then you have fruit and livestock in all of the provinces, really. But there are some that are more intense than the others.
Right. I know that we're talking about maize, and I've just been educated now that that's a summer crop and it's a field crop. So, you know, my agricultural knowledge is beginning to rise. Of the percentage of the total percentage of what we understand as the yield as far as maize or summer crops are concerned. How much to the fiscus does that bring? How much revenue do we see from that?
So the agricultural sector of the is quite big. So people typically use the measure where they say agriculture is a share of the GDP. If you are looking at it squarely on that, on the farming economy side, you are talking about 2.5 to 3% of the GDP. But then you stretch that a little bit and say, okay, backward and the forward linkages of agriculture processing and all of those things. And so the entire farming economy and its value chain gives you something around about 10% of the South African GDP. Even in terms of employment,
wow,
there's a lot of people, Aubrey, that are here. Because at primary agriculture, as we speak today, you have about 926,000 people that are there. And then in a processing side, you have roughly about 400,000 South Africans that are there. So you can say in agriculture and its value chain, you roughly have about 1.3 million South Africans or so that are working on that. And on the economic side, it's about 10% of the GDP when you think about backward and the forward linkages. So that's what we are talking about when we're talking about agriculture and and its value chain in the South African economy and labor market.
What does 10% represent of the GDP?
In values terms, that's quite sizable. Because if you were to look, let's say, the monetary part, at the farming directly, you are probably, and you're taking away all of the values added things in there. The agricultural economy in general, you are probably looking at something on average that is just around about 280 to 300 billion rands or so. That's what at a very primary level. Then you can add, and the numbers get bigger as you add all of the other things. But I think that the basic sense is that this is a sector that is quite sizable and interlinked to a whole range of things that we are doing in our country.
Isn't it strange, then, Wandile, that you hear very little from political parties, particularly during this election sort of season, talk about the agricultural sector? And I'm careful to say that when people speak of land, they're not necessarily speaking about the agricultural sector as you and I are speaking about it now, because I'm thinking that people will say, no, but we talk about land, we talk about, but the mm-hmm. agricultural sector has very specific components to it that make it part of the agricultural sector, and of course land is a big part of that, but it's interesting that we don't hear much from the political players about the agricultural sector and how South Africans need to view it and how it needs to be supported. And how I come from Pretoria, and I always see at the butchery that I go to buy some meat, somebody will write there, "If you ate today, thank the farmer." And yes, I suppose, but I mean, this is actually quite true. It's a very significant part of the economy and the well-being of the economy and food security, I imagine, yeah?
I think, Aubrey, the dilemma that you sit with always when you are dealing with the primary sectors of the economy is that, to a certain extent, we are divorced from the supply chains of what's happening. Because if you were to think of it and follow through with your line of thinking, even before thinking about what politicians are doing or not doing,
yeah,
much of what we do in our lives is interlinked to agriculture.
Sure.
You mentioned the food part, which most people talk about. But the leather bag that you carry when you go there to the studio,
yeah,
is linked to farmers. The jersey that is keeping you warm today, either by cotton or wool,
yeah,
or anything else, that is all farming. But I think what we have done a lot in South Africa, we have discussed agriculture more from the land perspective and not devoted enough time about the economics of the agricultural sector, which perhaps maybe is the discussion that we should be having. And I do think, and in agreement with you, that perhaps maybe the political parties, in addition to some of the topics that they talk about the land and everything else, we do need to devote a bit of time at saying, okay, this is the farming economy. It looks this way in terms of the monetary figures. But how can we then ensure that this sector grows, and it grows in a more transformative and inclusive way for other more folks to participate on it? But we really talk and expose the opportunities that are there in the sector, because I do think that this is an important one for us to pay attention on. And I mean, you've just heard the values of production that I was mentioning to you earlier.
Why is agriculture taking such a muted space in our it's a significant contributor to the economy and in very, very direct ways, right? Why is it that the agricultural sector has been so muted in the national discourse, do you think, Wandile?
I think, Aubrey, it's in a couple of ways. Perhaps maybe people like myself can take a bit of a responsibility, a blame or responsibility, however way one frames it onto this, which is the fact that I don't think that we have done enough to communicate about the intricacies of agriculture in South Africa, the benefits of it, the opportunities that people can participate on, and even the role of the sector that it brings into our people. Most people, whenever you think about agriculture and you talk to them about agriculture, to their minds, they imagine more of a medium or small-scale farming person. I don't always leave some conversations with a clear view that people are fully convinced about how the sector could be shaped at a more commercial way to actually play a meaningful role going forward. And also, I do think that at a political level, some departments, when they think about agriculture, they always see it as the sector that can help in nourishing and doing welfare side, and perhaps not emphasizing it a lot, the business aspect of the agriculture. So in a way, to people's mind, I do think that there needs to be a refocusing on this. And unfortunately, I mean, we live in South Africa here in a sector that is somewhat divided. You do see these dynamics of a perception in agriculture, depending on who you're talking to, because there are some people that view it as a serious economic sector, and there are others that perhaps maybe are not fully convinced as yet. And I do think that stretching people and showcasing some of the things that they may not have paid attention to a lot could be meaningful.
You gave me a quick masterclass on what the agricultural sector represents economically in this country, and then you made it very clear by pointing to the fact that the clothes I'm wearing, my wallet, my bag, my shoes, everything that I'm about, and the dinner I ate earlier on is a direct appendage of the agricultural sector. What should our attitude as South Africans be towards the agricultural sector? And I want to say this against the background or the context that says, many South Africans have had an arm's length relationship with agriculture because it was something that, that happens on the back end. The moment that I experience what the agricultural sector does for me is at a retail store, at a grocery store, at a fruit and veg store. That's when I experience it. But we don't really have a deep enough relationship with the agricultural sector to the point where we are interested to know what's going on there, to the point where we want to protect that sector, to the point where we want to talk about issues of economic transformation in that sector. How do we do that? How do we raise the profile of the agricultural sector so that South Africans begin to understand that, hey, perhaps you need to thank a farmer today for having had a meal?
Yeah, I think it is primarily in that perspective of saying, okay, one, what are some of these economic opportunities that lie onto this sector that people can tap in? Because the reality is, and I guess it's appropriate to make this statement today, because yesterday we were just, this past weekend, we were just marking 30 years into democracy, yeah, in South Africa. And Aubrey, if you look at the racial dynamics in the context of the moment that we are in South Africa, you will appreciate that black farmers make up about 10% of the commercial output. And then whenever I tweet about agriculture, which is what I do regularly, people always ask, what's the share of the black farmers onto,
yep,
that?
Yep.
The numbers are disappointing. Then there could be all kinds of, there are all kinds of reasons about why numbers are like that, stretching from land to skills and the other things. And there could be all sorts of things that could be done. But I do think that we have then to look into the sector to say, sure, we see the numbers that are there, but how do we push the envelope further on growing the South African agricultural pie and getting as many people as possible there? And I think that education angle, but also thinking about the funding aspect of the sector, and those of us that are in outlining where are the growth opportunities, those are things that perhaps maybe could be the start. Because yes, land is an important aspect, but it's just one aspect of agriculture. There's a much more that could be done there. And I guess the optimistic point that one has is the fact that in our numbers, this is a sector that over the next 7 to 10 years, it could still see about 30% growth in its value if certain things are being done well. And we don't think that it's land usage and the other thing, like capacity. And we still think that there's a lot more value that can be done in the manufacturing value add and in the input side and the agri-tech side. So those are all things that we need to discuss and put a monetary value on it so that young people and the others can begin to look into this sector and see that. And I think that information sharing about what really is happening here economically is something that perhaps maybe would elevate the appreciation of the sector amongst many people that are looking into this and searching for growth and a livelihood.
We've heard some disconcerting sort of commentary coming out of the agricultural sector where people have been saying to us that there is an exodus of competent, qualified farmers to countries such as Zambia, maybe even Zimbabwe, or let me say to the north of us. Many experienced farmers going to those countries. I've seen scary numbers that suggested that at some point we had something like 127,000 commercial farmers in South Africa. We're now at something like 30,000 commercial farmers. Is any truth to that? And how should we read that kind of information?
Yeah. So, Aubrey, besides being a bit more academic into this discussion, one, there is a bit more misreading amongst many people, not intentionally,
yeah,
of what is really happening there. Because the truth is, when people say the number of commercial farmers are declining, they don't really mean commercial farmers, because we don't measure farmers in South Africa. We measure what we call the farming units.
Right.
The latest statistics we have, which is the survey that we all conducted in 2017, it showed that there was about 40,000 commercial farming units. Indeed, having declined, because if you look at 1990, the commercial farming units that we had at the time were about 62,000 commercial farming units then. But I think what's more important, Aubrey, is also to say, okay, then if the farming units are declining, what is happening in this sector? Is it a sector that is declining economically? What is the problem?
Yes.
What is really happening is there is a sense of consolidation. And this is not unique to South Africa. Just Friday, the U.S. Department of Agriculture released the latest census, which showed that the U.S. farming have declined significantly, the farming units, as farms were consolidating in general. The upside of all of this debate is that today, comparing to 1994, the agricultural economy in volume terms has more than doubled. In value terms, has more than doubled from 1994 up until today.
Right.
Just last year, Aubrey, our agricultural exports reached a record $13.2 billion, not South African rand, dollars. Then in an economy like that, I'm flashing these high-level numbers to say this is not a sector where things are going bad, people are running away. Yes, South Africa is endowed with skilled farmers whenever there are opportunities elsewhere in the world, and yes, indeed in our neighboring countries, people should go and pursue those. But I do think that even within our side, we are doing a lot. And there are many more people, Aubrey, that are sitting at a small, medium-scale levels that are still searching for room to be able to participate in this sector, which I think as opportunities are become available to commercialize, they will take those. But it's certainly not a sector where there's an exodus and people are running away. So that's not where we are sitting.
Does that mean that we are not under threat in as far as food security is concerned, if I understand you correctly?
No, we are not in under threat, as best as I can tell. And I mean, you may appreciate this also, that if you look at all these indices that are measuring food security, at least at a national level, South Africa is the most food secure country at a national level in sub-Saharan Africa. And let me be quick to say, because I know this will upset people, because there's over 6 million South Africans that go to bed without sufficient nutrition. Yes, we have a critical problem at a household level.
Yes.
But at a national level, when you look at availability, affordability, nutrition, South Africa is doing well. And the household problem is really a challenge of an income poverty,
which is not an
agricultural problem.
That makes absolute sense to me, that that's not an agricultural problem. It's an administration. It's an administrative problem of certain agricultural products that should be making their ways into households. That's a different issue altogether. But what you're saying to me is that in terms of what we produce, we are not a candidate for a food insecurity conversation at a national level as yet.
No, not even as yet. As best as I can tell, and looking at the investments that are being made, I do think that we'll remain food secure for some time at a national level in South Africa. And Aubrey, I know you'll be pressed with time, but let me make the point that we, even in South Africa, as I speak with you now, have over 2.3 million households that are involved in some form of farming, in addition to those 40,000 commercial farming units that I was talking about.
Yeah, man, bro, I'm trying to get into this thing myself. So yeah, I'm trying to plant some crops in the backyard. I don't do it very well, but.
you'll get there. But the household food security issue is not even, Aubrey, an administration of agricultural problem, but it's an income poverty issue on social policy side, which then needs intervention
very clear
beyond our sector.
Very, very clear. I'm pushing because of time. John Masuku has just sent me a message to say, please ask Wandile to explain how the suffix works with regard to agriculture. I don't know what the suffix is. Please help me there, Wandile.
Yeah, so what John is referring to is the prices that we see at the stock exchange. That's mainly our grains that you see traded at the JSE at certain prices. All of those I'm not quite sure he's referring to how the prices are being set, but they reflect the international aspects, the prices that are in Chicago traded by a range of people, but also the fundamentals domestically of saying how much crop we really have. So what John can deduce when he's looking at those prices is that they are illustrating the supply domestically and the constraints to that, or even abundance domestically. But in addition to that, the international factors. As to whether then when one pays or buy a commodity, it depends. They may pay that price, others they may pay at a farm gate prices. Those are all of the nitty-gritties that I will leave unexplained so that I can be invited here again.
Most certainly. Most definitely, Wandile. I think it's the beginnings of a great conversation, and I'm going to ask Ntateng and her team, which I think it's a stroke of genius, to invite you today just so that we can get to understand the agricultural sector a little bit more as South Africans. I think that we are divorced from it, and shamefully so. I think we need to get closer to how food than every other product in the agricultural sector is produced, and how we can play a better role in that. It's a huge economic sector. What opportunities are in that sector, and what it is that we can do to maximize those opportunities. So most definitely, my brother, this is a standing invitation. We'll structure it a little bit better with Ntateng so that you can join us a lot more regularly to talk about the agricultural sector. Wandile Slobo, thank you so much for joining us, my brother. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Wandile Slobo is chief economist at the Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa, and is also a faculty member at the University of Stellenbosch.